As you're finding your place, you can take your Bibles and turn back with us to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we will be there momentarily. Of course, last Sunday morning we began this series entitled Let Earth Receive Her King. And last Sunday we saw the truth that Christmas actually began in the beginning. And now this morning we're going to see how it went from starting in the beginning and it would spread throughout all of the land. All of us have in our lives places that hold meaning for us, that they are important to us, to our lives, to our memories. And some of those places carry meaning because of maybe what happened there. Families return to old houses. Adults return to old schools and old schoolyards. We return to cemeteries to visit those who have gone on before us. And we do these things not because the land itself has changed, but because God did something in that place. And we're going to see this morning that the promised land was that place. Now, eventually this morning, we're going to find ourselves over in 1 Samuel. We'll be there in a few minutes, and we're going to find ourselves through the book of Micah. But we're going to see that the land before Christ was full of religion. It was full of religion, but empty of righteousness. That's why you may have and remember me saying any number of times that, you know, people, they can be religious, but lost. Because just because you have religion does not mean you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The two are very different things. The land was full of worship structures and places to go to worship, but it was void, it was empty of sincere people who were seeking to worship God. The land was promised, but the people were very distant. They were very far away. And right there, and we see it's not when Israel was spiritually strong, but it was when Israel was spiritually barren. It was when Israel was spiritually empty. And so you're there, Isaiah chapter 9, and these oftentimes we focus on verses 6 and 7, and they're wonderful verses, but so often we sometimes gloss over verses 1 through 5. And verses 1 through 5, those verses hold a tremendous amount of significance for the Christian. You're there, Isaiah chapter 9. Notice again, if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as..." Or, I'm sorry, let's begin again. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You notice there in verse number 1 and 2, verse number 1 talks about how there's dimness and how it goes from Zebulun to Naphtali to the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. But then verse number 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For a few moments more, I'd like to preach us this thought: Christmas in the land. Christmas in the land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, now as we open your word to see a truth, we pray that it would help us to be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak to hearts. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that need to know Christ as their Savior, we pray they would not leave this place without getting it settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here that they need to hear from you, we pray, Lord, that they would hear from you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And may the message be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We see here in Isaiah chapter 9, God starts the thought that we're looking at this morning of Christmas in the land. And again, it wasn't because Israel was faithful, because at this time they were very far from faithful. But he does so because God was faithful. And I'm thankful this morning that God will still work in our lives. Even when we're sometimes unfaithful to him, he is still faithful to us. I'm thinking of, we don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians 1:10, the first three words, God is faithful. Even sometimes when you and I are unfaithful, God is faithful. Verse number 2 here talks about in that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. I was reading this text again this morning before the service, and I'm like, that. Many times I talk about how, you know, we read scripture and we read the Bible, and sometimes we don't connect this with that until much later on. Well, this morning it finally clicked with me. And I looked at this verse, and it reminded me of Psalm 23. About, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then we come to this verse. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Why don't we fear evil in the shadow of death? Because there's a light that's there with us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we want to look at three thoughts this morning. Number one, or before I give you the thoughts this morning, all three of these thoughts that we're going to look at, they're going to lead us to, we're going to see a praying woman, a temple that couldn't contain God, a king born in Bethlehem, and a Savior shining light in deep darkness. And so the very first thought I want to see this morning is that Christmas in the land of barrenness. Christmas in the land of barrenness. Take your Bibles, turn over if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verse number 19. First Samuel chapter 1, verse number 19. The Bible says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elimelech knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." Hannah's reality up to this point mirrored Israel's reality. Hannah up to this point had been barren. Israel is spiritually barren. She has no fruit. Israel had no righteousness. Her tears had no answers. Israel's prayers would echo in silence. And yet the Bible says here, verse number 19, the end of verse number 19, "And the Lord remembered her." And the Lord remembered her. That means that God set his attention intentionally on Hannah. Not passively remembering, but actively choosing to remember her. And so we know God, he sends Samuel, the prophet who would anoint David, who we know whose lineage would bring forth Christ. And Hannah's answer was not just for her womb, but it was for the whole world. You know, sometimes you and I could sometimes feel forgotten. Especially in this world, it's very easy to feel forgotten. It's very easy to feel as if we're looked over. But we need to be encouraged this morning that when believers, when we feel forgotten, God remembers us. When prayers seem unanswered, God is working behind the scenes, making sure his purposes come about. And God often begins national deliverance with personal obedience. Like Hannah this morning, faith-filled worship precedes visible results. It's like a seed that, you know, you take the seed and you plant it in the dirt. Well, that seed looks dead. But beneath the soil, life is forming. And Hannah here, she looked barren from beneath her tears, but little did she know a Savior was coming. So we see Christmas in the land of barrenness. But then, secondly, this morning, we see Christmas in the land of distance. Christmas in the land of distance. Look, if you would, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And verse number 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Of course, we know this is the dedication of the temple. And Solomon prays, he asks this question, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? The priesthood was in place. Sacrifices were occurring. Religion, as we know it, was functioning But even though all of this was happening, hearts were cold. In the New Testament, Jesus would say, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. That's what's happening here. They're worshiping him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And Solomon confesses this truth. He says, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. And then last week we were in John chapter 1 and we actually had the answer to this question that Solomon posed. You don't have to turn there, but John 1:14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt, it means tabernacled. The literal meaning is God pitched his tent among us. He left heaven. He threw off his heavenly deity. He's still fully God, but he became man wrapped in flesh. And what Solomon prayed in awe, Christ fulfilled in humility. God moved into their dust, into their hunger, into their suffering, into their mortality. And he didn't come to be on a majestic throne, but he came in a feeding trough, in a manger, so many years ago. But we see that when God draws near, worship becomes real. Holiness becomes desirable. Fellowship becomes meaningful. Service becomes joyful. And we need to know this morning that even when it seems like he's distant, God still dwells among his people. Today, he still dwells among us through his Spirit, through his Word, and through his body, the local New Testament church. And so we see Christmas in the land of barrenness. We see Christmas in the land of distance. Thirdly, this morning, we see Christmas in the land of darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 again. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2 again. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah wrote this 200 years before captivity. And he wrote it 700 plus years before Christ ever came into that manger in Bethlehem. And as Isaiah was writing this, Israel was surrounded by foreign occupation. They were surrounded by moral collapse. They were surrounded by prophetic silence. They were surrounded by spiritual apathy. And yet we see Isaiah, he does not say here, they will search for a light. He doesn't say they will improve their condition. He doesn't say they will grow out of their darkness. No, he says a great light has shined. 700 plus years before Christ ever came. And Isaiah said, a great light has shined. Because light did not rise from Israel. Light came to Israel. And then, of course, we see Isaiah, he reveals the light, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born. Has the idea, when it says a child is born, that's talking about his humanity. For unto us a child is born. Well, then the second part, unto us a son is given. That word given reveals his deity, that he was still fully God and still fully human, all wrapped into one. And we see here, Isaiah gives him several names. Number one, he calls him Wonderful Counselor. Not therapist, not advisor, because he already knows everything perfectly. He calls him the mighty God, in the Hebrew, El Gabor, who's the warrior God, the champion God, the conqueror God. That's who our God is. The everlasting Father, not confusion of persons, but demonstrating his nature, eternal, his care, fatherly. And then he refers to him as the Prince of Peace. And now, peace doesn't mean necessarily there's an absence of war. That word peace, shalom, Hebrew fullness, wholeness. He is peace fully. Without him, there can be no peace, but with him and in him, there is peace fully. He didn't come to make peace possible. He is peace. And then fourthly, this morning, and finally, we see Christmas in the land of insignificance. We see Christmas in the land of insignificance. Look, if you would, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. The Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Bethlehem, really, when we look at it, it was nothing special. It was the overlooked town. Like Hannah, like Samuel, like the shepherds, like the fishermen. But Micah here says, "Out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." I got to thinking, well, why Bethlehem? Because Christmas exposes the world's blindness. Think about it, man. If we had our choice, we choose palaces, we choose royalty, we choose powerful cities, we choose the best and the most expensive. But God, he chooses stables. He chooses small towns. He chooses unknown mothers. And the reason for it is simple, because God wanted his glory seen. He didn't want man seen. Because listen, if it was all because of what man did, then the glory, the focus, would be on man. And it would be taken away from God. And listen, the focus should never be on us. The focus should never be on man. The focus should be on him. And him alone. Colossians, and the reference escapes me, but that in all things he might have the preeminence. We see this morning when God remembers his people. Christmas assures us that Israel could not destroy God's promise. Barrenness could not hinder God's plan. Spiritual darkness could not stop his light. Insignificance could not diminish his glory. And when God remembers you this morning, when God remembers me this morning, he remembers not for a moment. He doesn't remember, you know, how many times, you know, we're going about our day. Last night, I was sitting in there on treatment, and Mandy had to go downstairs for something, and I asked her, I said, Mandy, bring up a couple of trash bags, because we had to get some of the treatment room trash together, and so we could get it out in time on Monday. And so she comes up, and she brought up some stuff, and I'm looking at it, and I say, did you remember the trash bag? And she said, no, I forgot. And then this morning, I asked her, I said, she had went to Walmart here this week. We've been to Walmart so many times this week, I've lost count. But I said, last time I baptized, I did so in my suspenders. And then I just threw everything into a trash bag to take home later, and well, I forgot it. And so everything became kind of moldy and gross. And so she said, we'll just get you new suspenders. And so I said, black suspenders, not the brown ones. And so I said, did you remember my suspenders? I was getting ready this morning. I said, did you get my suspenders? And she said, no, I forgot. And so I said, you know what? Years ago, there were two Disney movies. One was called Finding Nemo, and one was called Finding Dory. And I said, Mandy, we're going to rename you Dory. And she said, it's okay. We'll rename you Nemo, because I forget things too. And, you know, we can all attest that. You know, we're going about our day, and then all of a sudden something hits us, and we think, oh no, I forgot to do A, B, or C. And then either you hope it's not too late to get A, B, or C done, or it's too late to get A, B, and C done. You think, hey, well, I'll just get to it another day. And well, see, God's never like that. God, he doesn't go about his day and think, oh no, I forgot about Robert. Or, oh no, I forgot about Mandy. Or, oh no, I forgot about Grant. No, God, he remembers us every single day. He remembers us eternally. And so when you sometimes feel forgotten, because again, it's easy to feel forgotten, just know God never forgets you. You are always on his mind. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.